I think I'm going to have to hire a personal assistant to help me with the microphone and the mask and how to get everything where it needs to be so I can get up here and actually be able to function. So that may be on the recording. I just looked at them. I said, does the mic look right? I don't know. I can't tell. Now they've got the mic clipped on my back. And yeah, I'm supposed to be all professional now. I will not bust out with Garth Brooks' Friends in Low Places, which, never mind. After this week, we may know the answer. I'm just teasing. I'm leaving that one alone. Also, I want to congratulate the Batemans and the marriage of Brian and Liz. Beautiful wedding yesterday. A beautiful wedding. And good food. You fed me well. That's the only reason I was there. But it was good. Good company sitting with the Jacksons. And I didn't embarrass them too bad. And so it was good. It was good. But congratulations. The only thing was, is they had these Alabama cookies. Lawrence, I can see you right there. And like Alabama football, the Crimson Tide cookie, it had Roll Tide on the cookies. So me and another lady who was behind me, we refused to eat them because we thought they might kill us. We weren't sure. So I take them home and I just throw them on the counter. Got four of them. Figured the kids can eat them if they die. So I just throw them on the counter. They don't even know. Owen doesn't even know what they are, you know, where they came from or whatever. So he walks into our bedroom. He goes, well, those are going to taste terrible. And my boy. Hey, remember, Christians suffer in this life. We're Tennessee fans, all right? And, all right, turn with me to the book of Malachi, chapter 2. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 9. And if you recall last week, the title was, Are You a True Worshipper? And remember, the book actually begins with the people questioning God's love. That's a theme throughout this book. And God says, well, let me show you, let me remind you of how I have loved you. I've loved you with a sovereign love, an eternal love, a covenantal love. The better question to ask, God is saying here as we moved on to last week, are you a true worshiper, is by your worship, you're saying that you don't love me. And basically, that's what the text boiled down to. And he is addressing the people and the priests. And this week, he gets very direct with the priests. Now, if you recall, the priesthood came to Aaron, the brother of Moses, and the tribe of Levi. Aaron was of that tribe. And so when you see the reference to his covenant with Levi, he made a covenant with Levi that they would be the priest ministering before him and ministering on behalf of the people. Now, that priesthood ended when Jesus Christ, through his life, death, burial, and resurrection, he is the high priest. The priestly office ended at the cross. The office is now borne by another, the great high priest, Jesus Christ. Go and read this in Hebrews chapter 10. But as John Piper says, part of the priest's duties in Israel is continued in the elders of the New Testament church. They are responsible to teach and guide the church. Just as the Levites were told in Deuteronomy 33 to give true instruction. And once again, this is a theme of what God is saying as he rebukes the priests here in the book of Malachi. As the priests ministered to the people and in the temple, likewise ministers, pastors, elders, they minister to the people and the church. Just as Malachi talks about covenant unfaithfulness of the people and continues that theme in addressing the priests, we must ask the question, who are faithful covenant ministers today? What are you to look for in a minister and a church? After about 3.5 years, I know some of you are just ready to raise your hand. See, I can tell you, we've seen you for about 3.5 years. I can tell you what we're looking for. It's not that, maybe. Are ministers in the church relevant or even important in today's society? You do realize that I'm having this conversation with many pastors. Where do we turn for truth? Well, we don't think it's the church. We think we turn to talking heads in the media to tell us what is truth. What happened to the church being the center of truth and people turning to the church to find truth? Where are you to turn for true instruction? How do you evaluate a church? These are all questions I hope to answer. If you'd stand with me as we read Malachi chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. And now, O priests, this command is for you. If you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed them because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your offspring and spread dung on your faces, the dung of your offerings, and you shall be taken away with it. So shall you know that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi may stand, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him. It was a covenant of fear, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name. Now pay attention. True instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness and turned many from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. And so I make you despised and abased before all the people, inasmuch as you do not keep my ways, but show partiality in your instruction. May God bless the reading of his words. You may be seated. You may be thinking to yourself this morning, what in the world does this have to do with me? I'm not a minister in the church. I'm not an elder in the church. Well, first of all, his instructions to the priests can also be applied to your spiritual life. And it is also very important that you understand these instructions from the Lord in Malachi as you go about evaluating whether or not you are receiving true instruction and whether or not the church itself is centered upon the gospel of Jesus Christ, the cause of Christ. These are things very important. The people have a responsibility to make sure that they are hearing biblical instruction. Now, what has been passed as to you as biblical instruction in years gone by has not always been. We like to be fed milk, not the meat of Scripture. It could explain the sickness of the American church. It could explain the condition of the church in 2021. In verses 1 through 5, faithful ministers must not fail to give honor to God. And this is not in my sermon notes, but listen, the ministry is not about me, and I can never make it about me. Ministers have a tendency to become self-consumed, prideful, arrogant. And Jerry tells me when all those things are happening in my life, and I listen to her. Okay, I'm not up here to draw attention to myself. I know you have asked me to come and to preach the message, but the ministry of this church does not, it is not all about me. It doesn't revolve around me. Our goal here and my goal is to bring glory to God and show honor to Him. That means that I must be sincere in my service. And when I use the word sincere, that means being real, genuine. A minister is to not to be fake. Apparently, we're having video problems. How do we have video problems? We're not even on Wi-Fi. Apparently, Apple and everything's cutting us off, aren't they? But big tech, we won't go any further. Sincerity means being real and genuine. No falsehood, not fake. Ministering is not about personal gain. John Piper wrote a book entitled, Brothers, We Are Not Professionals. This is not simply an occupation where I can climb some type of corporate ladder. Ministers are not to seek what they can get from people. Ministers are to seek what they can give to people. And what is happening in the ministry today is many times ministers see the people simply as pawns that they can manipulate in order to gain what they want to gain and to get where they want to go. They're just hired hands. Listen to the instruction to the Levites. He's saying to the priest there, verse 2, take it to heart. Then he goes on and he says, you do not lay it to heart. Ministers must take instruction from the Lord. We must take it to heart. Just go ahead and stop the video if it's, yeah. I'm sorry, it distracts me when you, every time you get up there, and so I think that's the devil working on us today. So if somebody doesn't hear it on Facebook, I think we've got Eric recording as well, so we are good to go. But we're to have teachable spirits. You, as a congregation, me as a pastor, we must be willing to be corrected by God, to be instructed by God. The Word of God is difficult. When it comes to us and it attacks the sin in our life, we want to resist it. As I prepared this sermon, last night, Jerry will tell you, God is tearing me apart with the sermon before I preach it to you, because I said to her, am I sincere in my service of the Lord in this church? If not, I need to be corrected. I need to be convicted. So you need ministers who are sincere. You need ministers who are zealous. Faithful ministers are zealous for the cause of Christ. This is what's going on in this passage of Scripture, is the priests were just simply going through the motions. They no longer had zeal for the Lord, a passion for the Lord. They didn't have earnest enthusiasm for God. My cause here is to be the cause of Christ. There's no place for complacency. We're not to be simply content with the way things are. Political campaigns promise change, which usually is not fulfilled. I'm telling you the one who can bring about change, and that is King Jesus. And King Jesus can change us. It can. King Jesus can grow this church spiritually and numerically. But when I challenge you, understand this. As the Levites were referred to in this passage of Scripture as messengers, I am a messenger of the Lord, delivering, thus saith the Lord. When I challenge you, it is going to step on your toes at times. I hear that used. And it's really funny how people interpret ministers. Like, I've also been told, well, you just don't preach enough on hell. Well, man, that was harsh. Man, you just stepped all over my toes. People have different evaluation, whether you're a hard preacher, blunt preacher, whatever it may be. I've been told I've been too blunt. I've been told that, you know, I'm not plain enough. It is what it is. I tried to direct you to the truth. My zeal is for you to be for the cause of Christ and to be on mission to build his kingdom. True faithful leadership involves leading change because we live in an ever-changing world. So we can't be complacent. We must be seeking opportunities, and some of those opportunities may be new opportunities to reach this community for Christ. Well, we've just never done it that way before. That phrase is death to a church. You might as well just say, we're content to die like it is. Now, that doesn't mean that it's going to be some new revelation of God and he's going to give me a new word that's to be inserted into the Bible. No, I am simply to challenge you with God's word. And some people do not like to be challenged. So faithful ministers must be zealous. They must be reverent in their service. Notice what he says about Levi in verse 5. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him. It was a covenant of fear, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name. I want to lead you to stand in awe of God's name, to revere him. If preachers and pulpits are not leading people to stand in awe of God and to revere him, then we have no business behind this pulpit. God cannot be contained in a box. He is the Lord of hosts, Malachi tells us. He is the Almighty. He is sovereign. So faith must be an integral part of the minister's life. I mean, just as I heard Joe speaking about, well, Lord, I don't know how we're going to do this. I'm just leaving it up to you. I'm going to tell you, Joe, I need more of that. And less of, well, how am I going to figure this out? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? We need a little bit more, not just in the ministry, but you too, of, Lord, this is in your hands. You make the way. In the past, the Levitical priest had obeyed. In the day of Malachi, they were disobedient. Well, how are ministers disobedient today? Are we leading people to pursue salvation in Christ, leading to a life of holiness? Or are ministers wanting people simply to feel good about themselves? Are ministers wanting people affirmed and applauded or convicted and confessing? Listen, I'm a people pleaser. And that is a detriment to my leadership. Everybody's like, you just got to let it roll off your back. I love it when people tell me that. And then I watch them not let things roll off their back. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, I want you to be happy with me. I want you to think I'm funny and not lie about it. I want us to have a relationship. I want us to be able to kid with one another, to joke, to laugh together, to cry together. I want us to have that type of relationship. But sometimes that means I make decisions to please people instead of pleasing God. Well, you just can't make everybody happy, says someone who, when I don't do what they want me to do, they become unhappy, and I want to use that same phrase to them, but I don't. Only because Jerry tells me not to, not the Holy Spirit. Shouldn't the message of ministers go to the heart of the problem, which is sin, and lead people to ask, as they did Peter in the book of Acts, what shall we do now? If ministers are not standing in awe of God, how do we expect the people of God to stand in awe? Notice the judgment upon the priests because they were not fulfilling their oath Behold, I will rebuke your offspring and spread dung on your faces, the dung of your offerings, and you shall be taken away with it. Now that, everybody's like, oh my gosh, that's some harsh language. Well, you know, God doesn't give us just those good little feelings all the time. There is the judgment of God. There is the judgment of God upon unfaithful people, the judgment of God upon unfaithful ministers. That is what the book of Malachi also is talking about. What were the ministers doing? Well, they failed to listen to God's word. They failed to center their life and ministry on the glory of God, as Phil Newton says. They failed to walk in the ways of God. They failed to teach rightly the truths of God's word. They failed to maintain the calling of God and the affirmation of the church. Notice that he refers here in this passage to them having corrupted the covenant. Failure to proclaim God's word without fear or favor. Do you know how hard it is to preach God's word without fear? Because I'm concerned at times how you're going to take a message. I have a little bit more fear of man than I do fear of God. And I can't do that. Wow, no amens on that. You've got to preach without fear. You've got to teach without fear. You ought to seek a minister who does that, who strives toward that, not being perfect. Listen, before I go to this last part, and I know I've got to get to the last part of the sermon, Jerry and I were out of the ministry for about a year. I left the church in 2014 and did not think I was going to minister again. I was exhausted. I showed up at a Christmas party of her family, and Jerry looked at me, and she said, before I resigned from this church, she looked at me, she said, "You look like you're on drugs." And I said, "I've hit a wall. I've got nothing left to give." And so we resigned, and I took that year to heal. But we went around to all of these churches, and I may have shared this with you before. We, you know, there's times that I was sitting in a church. Jerry would be on one end of a pew or a row of seats. I'd be on the other end, and we were texting each other because what the pastor just said just denied certain doctrines of Scripture. And I said, I wanted to leave. Jerry said, no, we can't leave. I know somebody across the church. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to listen to this garbage. I'm leaning over to Emma. I'm like, Emma, did you catch what that pastor just said? And she said, yes, he just denied the doctrine of original sin. And I said, yes, he did. Now, I could be too judgmental. That's what happens when pastors become part of the congregation. You're always evaluating. But I'm going to tell you what I looked for. And we were about to join this church, I believe. Gosh, he wasn't the best of communicators, sort of like me. His sermon structure, sometimes I would get home and I'd tell Jerry, I don't exactly know what the structure of the sermon was. But do you want to know why I was going to join that church? He was sincere. He was giving his best effort. And he was preaching God's word. What do you look for in a church and a minister? They better honor God, and they better give instruction from God. That's what we see in verses 6 through 9. I just want to reread that to you briefly. True instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Did you catch all of that? What is my responsibility? My job is to guard the truth and dispense the truth. That means I shoot wolves that are trying to steal the sheep or take the sheep. I guard the truth and I dispense the truth. That means that I'm a messenger of the Lord. If the basis of my sermon is not the Bible, then you need to stop listening to me. I could try to come up with, I'm not a creative person. I can try to come up with creative ways in sermons to communicate, you know, how to live your best life now. If you don't get that one, praise be to God. You've never read the book. You know, I could try to give you 10 ways to live a more productive life. 7 ways to be highly effective. However, that's not my purpose. A preacher is not a motivational speaker. And if you're wanting a motivational speaker, now that doesn't mean that I am not to plead, I am not to try to inspire you with my words, that try to direct you toward God and the truth, and to do so with a right demeanor and attitude. That's not what I'm saying here, but I am not a motivational speaker. Motivational speakers, people who do not preach God's word, I believe can cause people to stumble. And the Bible says in Matthew 18:6, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. So I am to give you true instruction, not to deceive you by my instruction. It is John Calvin who says, because God does not speak to us every day from the heavens, there are only the scriptures in which he has willed that his truth be published. So we are to read the word as Jerry did in leading us in worship. We are to sing the word. I am to preach the word. That is the basis of our gathering here. And I am to show no partiality. Notice what he says there. Do not keep my ways in that last verse, but show partiality in your instruction. I'm not to set a different standard for different groups of people. James 2:1 says, my brother, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. James 2:9, but if you show partiality, if you're committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. But I need to be like Jesus, who in Luke 20:21 says, so they asked him, teacher, we know that you speak and teach rightly and show no partiality, but truly teach the way of God. Current church planning models in the Southern Baptist Convention says that you need to have a target group. And that's good. But what is puzzling to me is how many target groups are usually the more upwardly mobile in our country. What do I mean by that? You know, suburbia, young, making money. I think you do need to know who you're reaching out to. But I think in our models, there needs to be no partiality, no favoritism. Do you know how hard it is? Do you know, search committee, do you remember how hard it was to get a pastor for this church? So you scraped the bottom of the barrel, and there I was. There I was, just, Lord, somebody take me. And these poor people came along. It's hard. Most pastors are not looking for churches like this. Why? Not big enough? Not enough salary? I'm just speaking truth. But as a denomination, do you realize that about 80% of the churches in our denomination are just like us? I think we might need to think about how we are training our ministers in our seminaries. Instead of parading in front of them mega churches of success, maybe we need them to get out in the field and see what a church really is. I've got to move to the end. I've talked a lot about our ministry, my group, my compadres. Should I use that word? You need to seek true instruction. Did you notice that? For the lips of a priest, verse 7, should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord. This isn't going to work. It's never going to work between the minister and the people if the people don't desire the truth. You've got to desire true instruction. You got to seek it. You got to want it. And on the other end, I've got to want to give it to you. I've got to desire to receive instruction from the Lord and dispense it to you. That's how this works. It is A.W. Tozer who said the unattended garden will soon be overrun with weeds. The heart that fails to cultivate truth and root out error will shortly be a theological wilderness. And what that says is, and I believe this is true, our churches are wandering around in a theological wilderness. We don't know what we believe, why we believe it. And people oftentimes will say, well, the Bible says, and I just, where does it say that? It doesn't. It is Winston Churchill who says, men occasionally stumble over the truth, but most of them pick themselves up and hurry off as if nothing happened. Don't stumble over the truth and then just move on. Respond to it. Live it. Seek it out. And you ought to know the Word of God well enough to know whether or not I am giving you true instruction. You must be like the Bereans. Search the Scriptures to see if what I am saying is true. Let us pray. Lord, my prayer is that I guarded the truth and dispensed it today. Forgive me for my errors in delivering this message. Lord, it's your word. It's more powerful than I am standing behind this pulpit. Give the people a passion and a desire to seek the truth, to desire true instruction, to desire you, for you are the one true God. Give me the desire, Lord, to lead this people to stand in awe of you. And if we are not standing in awe of you today, if there's anyone here, Lord, would you bring conviction and confession. Lord, would you teach us to revere you today? That is such a dangerous prayer. But Lord, it is one that we must pray. Teach us to revere you. In Jesus' name, amen.